Due to the global outbreak of the coronavirus, the Voice of America is taking every necessary precaution to safeguard its employees, so our broadcast will look a little different today and in the near future as we reduce our staffing at VOA headquarters here in Washington. We appreciate your staying with us on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, you are welcome to Straight Talk Africa from my home. I am Shaka Sali, and today we are discussing the significance of the change of guards in Malawi. My guests are Janet Zenat Kalim, an educator and a former diplomat with the permanent mission of the Republic of Malawi to the United Nations, and from Brantaya, the commercial capital of Malawi, we are joined by reporter Lanet Masina. I have to say that Janet and Lanet, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on this special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
It's a great privilege and an honor to be here again, Shaka, and just to express my great joy, overflowing joy at what has taken place in Malawi. Indeed, democracy is alive and well in my country. And I'm so happy with all the sectors of our country.
Thank you very much. You're most welcome.
I'm also overjoyed at what has happened in Malawi, and together with Malawians are also ready. Most of them are happy of what has happened.
Well, we do have a new government in Malawi. What is the reaction or the mood on the ground, especially from you, Lanet, who joins us from Brantaya? What is the mood like?
The mood like is like that of happiness, and it seems most of the people were expecting change, and now the change has come because we understand this election has been done using the 50+1 voting, which means the majority has taken the lead. So the majority are happy and they expect a lot of change from this government.
What about you, Janet? I know that you happen to be at a disadvantage because you are living in the Malawian diaspora. What about the Malawian diaspora from your vantage point? What is their reaction to the change in Malawi?
Let me just say, first of all, I am grateful to social media and the access to information that we have in Malawi. We are able to see everything that is happening there as it is happening. Insofar as what is the reaction to the diaspora is, I gauge it that they're quite happy with the change that has come. Because this is not only a change of players, but it is a change of the way things are going to be done. So I'm hopeful, as well as other diaspora members are hopeful, that we're going to be changing the way we think we are doing things. And in the voting of Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, by close to 60% of the voters that showed up in Malawi on the 23rd of June, Dr. Chakwera, President Chakwera, he is a focused person. He is focused and he is direct and he's brief. He's, you know, he doesn't give you, you know, 3-4 hour speeches or speeches that just go round and round and round. He's come to talk to you and tell you about the cabinet he's going to form, or maybe the fertilizer subsidy that is pushed into parliament right away on the, you know, second day of the new Minister of Finance. Shows to you that this is a person that is going to get things done. He is focused. And he is not going to go about it, you know, maybe going, turning left when he needs to turn right, or going straight when he needs to, you know, make a roundabout turn. This is a focused man. And people are happy. The diaspora was very frustrated with the way things were going on. There was corruption, open corruption, and nothing was being done about it.
I see.
The diaspora, I can say that they are happy that we've got a government that is going to speak to corruption.
I see.
And other things.
Lameka, you talked about how people are very, very happy. Do you get the sense that in Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, we have a fundamental change of sorts here, or is it merely a change of God, really?
No, yeah, it's both a change of God and also a change of system of government. Because, for example, Dr. Chakwera has just been in the office for a few days, and now the fruits have started to happen. For example, he has dissolved the Bastetos, and also the fight against corruption is now still on. And he has just made, for example, he came after the DPP government made a budget, but he has changed that. He has cancelled that full-year budget, and he has made a 3 months provisional budget. And in that budget, what he has done is that he has started fulfilling some of the promises he made during the campaign. For example, in the past, the wage cut was like the employees were being cut after receiving 45,000 kwacha. Now he has increased that to 100 kwacha, which means anyone who will be getting the 100,000 kwacha will be will have his tax cut from there.
I see. What about you, Janet? What are your expectations, really, when it comes to the new man in charge of your country?
I have a lot of confidence in Dr. Chakwera, President Chakwera. As my colleague Laxman was saying, there has not only been a change in persons at State House, but there's also a change in the drama. And part of that change that we have seen is his nomination or appointments of cabinet ministers that are outside parliament. And this means that if that minister does not, you know, deliver the requirements that have been set in front of him by Dr. Chakwera, President Chakwera, then the president is free to change that minister. In the past, when the ministers were being appointed because they hold a seat in parliament, it was being that they would boost the number of persons that are going to vote for, government policies. So having an outsider from parliament is a good indicator that President Chakwera is putting into his cabinet people that are really qualified and that will do the job. The other one is the promise of having 40% of his cabinet made up of women. You know, Shaka, when you were seeing the demonstrations, they were all filled up with women. Yes, the men were there. Of course, the men were there. But, a large percentage of the people that were marching were women. And they were there in their large numbers when it came time to vote. So for Dr. Chakwera to say, President Chakwera to say that he's going to have 40% of his cabinet. For every 10 ministers, there are going to be 4 ministers. That is a great recognition that not only does he appreciate that the women were part of this new, change that we have in Malawi, but also the fact that there are women that are qualified to do the job of a cabinet minister. So this is part of the change of the drama. And the other one also, Laxon mentioned, the reduce in taxes. That is, people that were getting 40,000 kwacha used to pay taxes. But if you, more than 40,000 kwacha, they used to pay taxes. Now you have to earn 100,000 kwacha, then you start paying taxes. This is a great tax relief for the population of Malawi, as well as the subsidy, the delivery of the subsidy. He has gone to parliament, introduced a budget for the 3 months, and in there, right at the top of the line, is the fertilizer subsidy. So, they said the very next day, you are going to get reduction green fertilizer. So, you know, going forward, when this parliament, as it's discussing, going forward, within the next month, the cost of fertilizer will be less than 5,000 kwacha. That's new drama. You know, a president that delivers, and he's giving us brief statements, not long statements, but brief statements, concise, to the point, and, you know, he exits and he lets you people discuss whatever it is you want to discuss. But he's a man of vision. The drama is changing, Shaka. The drama is changing in Malawi.
Very interesting. Lameka, your fellow panelist, Jeanette, says that the new president, Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, is a president of vision. Do you agree with her? And if you do, why?
100%, and totally, I agree with her because of what I have maybe started to explain earlier. He has already started implementing some of his campaign promises. And also, it seems he is a man of vision, because all along during his campaign period, he has been talking about efforts to eliminate corruption, and also maybe to make people safer. For example, in terms of maybe food insecurity, he has already reduced the prices of fertilizers, and it's not doubt. There's no doubt. He is indeed a man of vision. By assessing what he has just started in this few days in his office.
You know, if I heard him correctly, he said that his presidency will embrace the virtues of servant leadership.
Yeah,
that he will be a servant of the people. And the people
he will be a servant of the people, really, 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 really. Because now what he's doing, he's not doing things on his own. He is consulting. For example, he has put his vice president on the ground. He's going about Prasatos, checking what went wrong, and also maybe contracts, reviewing the contracts. So what he wants to do now is to do what people were expecting of him, not what he wants to do to the people. That's why it's really, he's a servant of people. For example, he has a background of religious leadership. And for example, what is done in the country, for example, the reference, become what the servants of the people. I think that's what really describes him best.
Interesting. What about you, Janet? What is this idea of the new president, Dr. Chakwera, saying that his presidency will embless the virtues of servant leadership?
The servant leader is an employee of the people that voted for him. So what he is going to implement is what the people are desiring, what the people want, and not what he wants, as Lamek has, you know, said. He is going to deliver on what is needed by the people in Malawi and what the people told him that they needed and they wanted. For example, what the people need in Karonga is different from what the people need in Insanje, what the people need in Mwanza, what the people need in Mangochi. Vastly different areas, but all desiring something from the government. And, you know, this is not that they're desiring something from the government that they've got their hands out. No, this is the people, he actually says, you pay your taxes to the government. And this money goes into the government. The government is then supposed to, you know, allot that money back to the communities and develop those communities. And this government has gone further to say that they're not going to employ people from Karonga to go and do development projects in Mwanza, It's the people in Mwanza that are going to participate in the development projects. This is what he means, that he will be he will be the people's servant. He is working for the people. He is there to ensure that the people's interests are met. You know, what they want, their desires are fulfilled by the government, and it is going to be fulfilled by their own money. So this is the government that's saying, don't clap hands at us when we have given you a development, you know, we have fulfilled a development project. Because this is your project. You are the one who finances it. You finance it with your taxes. So he is a servant leader. He is not the master. He is the president, but put in that place by their vote. And because he's put there in that place by their vote, he, you know, they, the people are his employers. That is what is meant by servant leadership. Of course, he's coming from a religious background, and this is, you know, it comes out of the pages of the Bible of what a servant leader is supposed to be. You're supposed to serve the people. Jesus demonstrated it by washing the feet of his disciples. And then he said, now you go out and do the same. So this is what Dr. Chakwera is doing. President Chakwera is doing. I keep on calling him Dr. He's a president. President Chakwera is doing.
Very interesting. Lameka, you have had 5 presidents before this one. This one is the sixth president of the Republic of Malawi. The founding president was Dr. Hastings Kamuzu Banda, a man who was variously regarded as a presidential monarch. In the local Lingua, he was referred to as the Wamuyaya, the Nguazi. You had Bakili Muluzi succeeding him as the number 2 president of the Republic of Malawi. Then you had the number 3, Bingu wa Mutarika. Then later you had the first female president, not only of Malawi, but in fact, you made history by having the first democratically elected female president, not only in Malawi, but in Africa. Except that, of course, in this particular case, it wasn't that she had to win an election. She simply succeeded Bingu wa Mutarika, who had gone 6 feet deep due to divine intervention. What makes you think? And then, of course, you had later Professor Arthur Peter Mutarika, the younger brother of President Bingu wa Mutarika. What makes you think sincerely that your 6th president, Dr. Lazarus Chakwera, is going to be a different type of president than the previous 5?
So thank you. That's not a question indeed. The issue is that Dr. Chakwera really is expected to be different from all others, because people are comparing from first president, second, third, fourth, and fifth. All what they have been seeing in the past are more like similar, maybe except that of President Dr. Banda, because that time we were in the one-party system. But things changed. You know, it changed in 1994 when there was a multi-party system where maybe there are a lot of freedoms. But what happened was different. We were supposed to be maybe happier. Security was supposed to be fine, and corruption was supposed maybe to be zero or no corruption at all. But what happened was different. It was a corruption and the insecurity, and also even hunger. Because during the Dr. Banda's rule, we were meant to believe that we were food sufficient, and we were. But when things changed, nothing of the sort happened. So this time around, people are expecting maybe a change for the better, a change for the better, more especially corruption. Because, for example, when Matpate came, the leaders who were in between, they were highly associated with corruption. That was the big evil which Malawi was facing during this period. Now, what people are expecting now is that corruption will be rooted out completely, and all the ills they were facing in between will be stamped out.
For a while, you seem to have a tradition of an incumbent president losing an election and conceding defeat with grace, with humility. That, in fact, began in 1994 with Malawi's founding president, Dr. Hastings Kamuzu Banda. Then you had a situation some years back when President Joyce Banda declined to concede defeat with grace. And now you have her successor, the man who succeeded her, Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika, not conceding defeat with grace. Why is it that these two last presidents, for some strange reason, decided not to concede defeat to people who had defeated them at democratic polls? Any particular reason why these two particular individuals, former presidents of Malawi, broke the precedent, the excellent precedent that had been set by the founding president, Dr. President Kamuzu Banda of Malawi?
It's unfortunate that the presidents after Dr. Banda did not follow the, you know, example that he set, that of conceding. On the other hand, I would also put, you know, even Bakili Mluzi in that boat. Because Bakili Mluzi, although he, you know, his term was over, so he put in, President Mutharika, okay? Yeah. Mutharika.
After failing to extend his term to the third term.
That's right, that's right. So, when presidents come into office, there are certain players that, you know, are there that manage the election process. And I thought the Malawi Electoral Commission with that, in that in the successive election, in the management of successive election after 1994, have really been badly handled. And, you know, this time round, I want to commend the people of Malawi, because, Shaka, what one thing you should know is the people of Malawi have woken up. The people of Malawi are participating. The people of Malawi are making their demands. It's almost as if somebody somewhere went and conducted some night school with them, and they have woken up the next day and say, hey, we don't want our government run this way. This is corrupt. We don't like this. We don't like that. And when, my colleague has mentioned that the President Chakwera dissolved all the parastatals. The parastatals are the ones that actually fueled and the oil, I shouldn't say fueled, but oiled, gave oil to the corrupt politicians. The politicians don't have access to the money. The ones that are controlling the monies of Malawi are parastatals, like the MRA.
I see.
Collects our taxes. The Malawi Revenue Authority. They collect our taxes. They collect millions and millions of Malawi kwacha. That money has been used by the political machinery.
Unfortunately, the next time you go to this ally, let me go to your colleague, Lameka. Lameka, what about you? Any particular reason why these two gallant Malawians, two former presidents, Joyce Banda and Professor Arthur Peter Mutharika, for some strange reason, have not continued with the Malawian tradition
of conceiving the seed with the breast.
Yeah, I think some of the reasons are what Janet has already claimed. But I'm just
Go ahead.
For example, just one of the reasons why she did not conceive the divinity is she suspected a sort of leaking. But the problem last time around is that no one went to the to court as what has happened.
Yes, she should have gone to court.
That time around.
Yes.
Yeah. So as what has happened this time around, I think that was the reason why she did not conceive. The writing was already on the wall, and everyone knew that the combination of Lazarus Chakwera and Saul Chilima, it was great, and it was undisputable that they would win easily. But the same issue is that we can't believe it. We can't believe it. And we don't know why we can't believe that we will lose the elections. Everybody knew it. That you're going to lose the polls. But up to now, we can't believe it.
Very interesting.
I think credit should also be given to our systems in the country. The Malawi Electoral Commission, with the new chairperson, Dr. Chikundo Katale, was well managed and well controlled, and he put a roadmap into which, in which proved that the votes, you know, the results would be coming in from the districts. And we had the Malawi Defense Force, which also came in and provided security not only during the polling, but even during the vote counting, and then also the delivery of those votes to the district commissioners, and then to the national tally center. We had a judicial system that was independent, and the president tried to move out the chief justice because of the two landmark decisions. And Malawi is now really an example to the rest of Africa on how one can challenge something as atrocious as that which happened in May 2019, where the election was stolen from the people. And this is where I'm saying that the people woke up one day and came out and said, you can't do this to us. We go out and vote and you steal our votes. And when you listen to the songs that they're singing, that you stole our votes, and we went to the judges, and the judges have said, we're going to vote again. So the people are happy, and they're expectant that they are going to participate in the running of Malawi.
Time is not our best ally, so we go for a break, and when we come back, we shall continue with the discussion. So please, don't go away. Welcome back to this special edition of Straight Talk Africa, and we are talking about the significance of the change of guards in Malawi. My guests are Janet Zenat Kalim, an educator and a former diplomat with the permanent mission of the Republic of Malawi to the United Nations, and from Brantaya, the commercial capital of Malawi. We are joined by reporter Lanet Masina. How was the electoral commission that conducted this most recent election chosen or selected, and by who?
Yeah, we have a judicial service commission, and they make appointments. They make suggestions and send the names to the president. And then the president makes the appointments from that list.
So we have a, you know, that's what I'm saying, that the systems in the country, the democratic systems in the country are working well. And it's a mistake that the former Chief Justice, not the former Chief Justice, the former Chief Secretary, Mr. You know, Lloyd Muhara, tried to retire the Chief Justice because Mutharika was angry with him because of the decisions that he made. But he does not have any mandate over the judiciary, because the judiciary has got its own commission, just as the civil service has got its own commission that looks after the civil service affairs. Parliament has got its own commission that looks after parliamentary affairs. So the systems of democracy in running the affairs of the executive, the legislative, as well as the judiciary, are working and alive and well. But they are separate and they are independent of each other.
Very interesting. Yes, I was trying to say that across Africa, most of the countries have governments which have three equal branches of government. They have the executive led by a president or a prime minister, like in the case of Ethiopia. You have the legislature, which is led by a speaker. And then you have a judiciary led by a chief justice. But in most cases, really, you find that those three branches, which are supposed to be co-equal branches, are nearly equal on paper or in theory. Mm-hmm. Because in reality, the executive controls the other two. In fact, the other two are like the executive subsidiary. What makes the Malawian judicial system tick? What makes it different to the extent that it guards its independence fiercely?
Yeah, I think as of late, Malawi judicial system has shown that it has also teeth to bite and also to stand on its own. Because, for example, that was also the case here in Malawi. For example, the government trying maybe to control the judiciary.
Mm-hmm.
Just for example, again, during this past election, there were these allegations that some government officials or the government operatives were trying to bribe the judges who were presiding over this election case. So that's where now the judges said no. That's where the judges said no. We can't be bribed. And their fight for 100% independence started from there. And for example, what Janet has already said, the secretary to the state, for example, Lloyd Muhara, wrote a letter indicating that the Chief Justice has to go on leave pending retirement. That one also displeased the judiciary. And in reaction, they had the demonstrations where they condemned the government intrusion into the judicial system. So now we can say the Malawian judiciary is fighting on its own. It is fighting to be independent and is still independent. And it is making everything possible that it should be controlled by the executive.
Do the judges in Malawi have basically job insurance in the sense that they have life tenure? Are they permanent? Or are they in fact in positions where they serve at the discretion of the president?
Ladies and gentlemen,
No, for the time being, the judges in Malawi, I'm sure that they are a little bit, they are independent. They are not serving the government, the executive, for example. During the recent cases, where election case, because that is the central point where we are discussing here, the election case where the government has tried maybe to go to the courts to maybe ask it, maybe for example, to the government don't want maybe the election to take place. So they try to go to courts with the different issues, but the court told the film and they didn't rule in favor of the government. So I think that's where the government shows that the judiciary shows its independence in Malawi.
Do they by any chance get their power from the Malawian constitution?
The judiciary is based on the constitution of the country, because in their argument they refer to the constitution.
What about
let me just chip in here to say that the constitution determines how a justice can be removed. Once you become a justice, you're in there until you reach the age of retirement, which is 65, and you can only be removed if you're declared incompetent. That is when you can be removed. And you cannot even be forced to go on retirement, because you can stay on, but if you don't go on, let's say, if you do not go on leave, you can forfeit your leave days, but no one can force you to go on leave. So if you accumulate leave days, the Constitution is absolutely silent on the fact that you can be forced to be, you know, to go on leave. And what Muhula was trying to do was to force the Chief Justice to go on leave. And it was so clear, blatantly clear, that what he was doing because the President was upset with the, you know, election cases, the way they had turned out. But you cannot remove a Justice from his position, and a justice does not have to bow to executive, to the president. He can move in any way. You'd be surprised. I mean, 3-4 months later, a court judge may rule against, you know, President Chakwera's, you know, government or something that is taken to court there. You may be surprised. You know, I don't want to foretell, you know, something, but the judicial system, the judges, they are independent of the executive. And this was a great testing ground for us. It was a melting point for Malawi, in that we tested that, you know, taking a president to court, taking the Malawi Electoral Commission to court, and the judicial system, the judges making their decision, the Constitutional Court making its decision on February 3rd, and then on June 23rd, after the Supreme Court said you're going to vote again, then, you know, Malawians went and voted. And it looks like, you know, I mean, Mutharika accuses the judiciary of staging a coup d'etat. It wasn't a coup d'etat. It was actually the judicial system in Malawi exerting their right to, you know, to the mandates that are dictated to them, that are given to them by the Constitution. That is the supreme, you know, law of our country. The supreme law that guides us and that has been guiding us. And you can't go to the Constitution one day and ask it to defend you, and then the next day you go against it. And this is what, you know, the Mutharika group was doing.
You talk about how a judge in Malawi can only be removed from office if and when they are found incompetent. Who has the constitutional right to make that decision, that determination?
Well, again, we look to the Constitution, and as I told you, that the judiciary,
Judicial Commission?
The judiciary is governed by the, not governed, but overseeing their affairs. The administrative affairs of the judiciary are overseen by the Judicial Service Commission. which has got a you know, a chairman, and they're the ones that, you know, make that determination.
What do you think?
And then it's taken to Parliament, and Parliament makes a decision and its recommendation and votes on it. And it has to be a vote of 2/3 of the members of Parliament, or the entire Parliament, not just, you know, 2/3 of the people that are in Parliament. It has to be 2/3 of all the members of Parliament.
I see.
Well, voting and saying, yes, this justice is incompetent and he must go.
Have you known?
That is how beautiful and brilliant our constitution and our democracy is.
Rameka, what do you think in a continent where some people would say there is a democracy deficit, what do you think that the democratically challenged countries in Africa can learn from the democratic experience of your country, Malawi?
Yeah, what they can learn, I think, is how the fresh elections have been held. Because Malawi now has become the second country in Africa, from Kenya, who have the presidential run. But Malawi is the first to succeed. Because when I studied in Kenya, it was as such, but they couldn't succeed. The government tried to trap upon the opposition by, for example, maintaining the same electoral commission. But the Malawi government has succeeded because they challenged the polls, and the opposition has won, and Malawi has become the first. And it sends a big message to African countries that it can be done to successfully dispute the results, and then win it at the end of the day.
Interesting. What about you, Jania? What do you think the rest of the democratically challenged African countries can learn from the democratic experience in your country?
Yeah, it is for the institutions that are in the constitutions that run, you know, that ensure that democracy exists, democracy flourishes. And those institutions have to be tested. And in Malawi, you know, our democratic institution, even the parliament was tested. The judiciary was tested. The security system in our country was tested, whereby at the beginning, the police really did not care to provide security to all Malawians. And they were just, you know, bystanders. And then when the military, which are supposed to be protecting our borders, but the military came in to say, we are going to boost the security of this election by providing soldiers at all the polling stations. That is the testing of democracy. So all the institutions of a democracy in a country, you know, have to stand up and actually read their constitution and see what their mandates are. And when they see what their mandates are, fulfill those mandates when a dictator, you know, comes up, you know, in their midst. Take the issue to court. Let the parliament discuss it. And let the military provide security for the citizens. Because if the citizens are being harassed and being killed by members of a governing political party, there is no security. The security of the country is, you know, is suspect and is vulnerable. So these institutions that are in the constitution of every country, they must be tested and they must, you know, rise to their mettle and, you know, protect the constitution to the letter by fulfilling their mandates that are in the constitution.
Rameka, your country has been politically free from the former colonial powers, Britain, for the last time I checked, 56 years. And out of those 56 years, the Malawian Congress Party ruled your country for 30 years under founding president Dr. Hastings Kamuzu Banda.
Yes.
26 years later, you have the Malawian Congress Party coming back to power. How do you respond to some people who have said, when it comes to politics, perhaps the vast majority of Malawi think that the future of the Malawian Republic is behind you?
Is behind?
Yes.
No, that is thinking like a child. You know, the Malawi Congress Party under Dr. Chakwera, president, who is the president now, President Chakwera, is a party that has evolved. Is a party that has been looking at how the different parties, the UDF followed by DPP and then followed by PP under Dr. Joyce Banda, how they have, you know, ruled the country. And Shaka, let me just tell you, this is not, you know, drumming the drumbeat of the Malawi Congress Party, but in the 31 years that we had in one-party state under Kamuzu Banda, there was a lot of vast developments. All the, you know, things that, you know, you are seeing in Malawi, that was the development under the rule of Dr. Banda. Now, in the 26 years...
You are talking about the infrastructure, correct?
Infrastructure development, yes. That was a brilliant thing. But the only
president
who contributed to infrastructure was Bin Buantarika.
But what about the lack of what some would call social, economic, political justice?
This is what I'm telling you now. Since the coming in of multi-party democracy, we have had a lot of political, you know, justice, so to speak. In fact, in the guise of we've had elections, even though sometimes they're stolen from us. But the fact that we've been going to the judicial system, it shows that there's, you know, legal justice, there's political justice, but there has not been social justice. There has not been economic justice. And this is what I'm saying that the Malawi Congress Party is now talking about. Economic justice. They're talking about social justice. In fact, when you talk about 40% of women being, you know, cabinet ministers, that is social justice. Okay? And when you talk about fertilizer being affordable, that is economic justice. So the Malawi Congress Party has not just been sitting in the wings waiting to get back into power. It has been sitting in the wings and learning from the mistakes of, you know, people that have been in power. And they were once in power, they have now come back, and they have come back as a new kid on the block, so to speak. They have learned, and they are running. They have landed running, and they are running towards, developing Malawi. Delivering on
socio-economic
as well as
political justice. Why don't we perhaps make some clarification, because in reality, this is not the old type of Malawi Congress Party. Because
Absolutely.
We are talking about the Malawi Congress Party with other political parties and movements, and therefore, in fact, what you have now is a reflection of a grand coalition. Isn't that correct?
Yes, there are nine political parties that are in the Tonse Alliance. And, you know, when Dr. President Chima talks about, President Chakwera talks about consulting, he's consulting those people, the political parties, such as PP of Dr. Joyce Banda, Petra of Amusi Chiwambo, there's Mafunde of George Nessa, and, you know, and others, Ford and Anna. So all those parties are consulting with the president. They have actually, you know, formed a quasi sort of advisory council And, you know, this is how the government is going to be run in Malawi. But President Chakwera is the president. And he is from the Malawi Founders Party. And it's a party that has been 26 years in the wings, waiting and actually watching people falling all over themselves, making mistakes.
Do they also control the National Assembly?
Excuse me?
Does the coalition also control the National Assembly?
No. They don't. They have members in the National Assembly, like Accord, PP, United Transformation Party, DPP, of course, and Malawi Congress Party. They've got members, their members who sit in the parliament.
I see.
Yes.
And also, let me just chip in, because what Jenny has said.
Yeah.
The Malawi Congress Party, which was maybe associated with sort of maybe bad governance, the first Malawi Congress Party, so it's different, it's totally different from the Chakwera Malawi Congress Party, because this is the part with the new blood, and they are focused. They want to maybe make a change to make people differentiate between the Malawi Congress part of the past and the Malawi Congress part of this time around. So this time around, what they are going to do is to make sure that they are implementing new strategies which make people make differentiate with the Malawi Congress part of one party system.
Lameka, you have covered Malawian politics for many years. Could you please share with us what you consider some of the major lessons that you have learned over those years?
It's one major lesson that politicians should not be trusted. You can't trust them. They change. For example, during campaign period, they may promise something and act differently. They promise one thing and do another thing. So you can't trust the politicians completely. So if we are saying that the Chakwera government will do something better, we are yet to see if he will really mean what he was saying during the campaign podium.
I have news for you, my brother, because if they didn't operate the way that you have described, they probably wouldn't be politicians, because one of the major definitions of politics happens to be that politics is the art of all possibilities. So you can imagine the inbuilt window, the implied window of experience. What about you, my sister Janet? You have observed
many years
of the development of democracy or politics in your country.
What I have learned is that, you know, governing is a social contract. It is a contract between the people who are the governed and the governors. If you take advantage of the people who are the governors, the people who put you in power, they can vote you out of power. And this is one thing that, you know, Professor Mutarika is now learning. But he took advantage of the people. The people were crying out of the streets loud and clear. But all he was interested in doing is giving them, you know, little bits and pieces of money, even building bridges with using sand instead of, you know, using mud, not even sand, using mud instead of using cement. And the bridges fall, you know, thereafter. You can't fool the people all the time. You fool some of the people, you know, some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all of the time. And this is one lesson that, you know, is being taught to Mutarika. And the people have got the power. It may take 5 years, but they will exercise that power and vote you out. They voted out Munuzi when he wanted his third-term bill. The people said no. And they voted out Peter Mutarika when, you know, he cheated them on the election. People have got the power. As long as we have a democracy, as long as we're ensured we are allowed to vote every 5 years, people are going to exercise that power. And political leaders are going to put on this servant leadership mantle that Chakwera has put on. If they don't do that, they're going to find themselves out the door in 5 years' time. That's what I have learned.
I see.
People have got the power, and they're going to exercise it.
I see. Well, on that note, our distinguished guests are Janet Jeanette Karimbo and Lamek Masina.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you, Janet
and Lamek. It was a pleasure interacting with you, and I really envy you guys. I wish that Uganda was in the same league. Thanks to our audience for tuning into State of Africa. In the meantime, get better, not better. And please, please remember to keep the African hopes alive. Thank you.